Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Jake, you're making me go against my mother's wishes. I was always taught to never speak when Elvis is singing, and so...
It's about a minute 24 left, then.
Mother would be very angry at me right now.
Cállate.
Stephen, he's speaking. He's singing. He's singing. Stop talking. Oh, Elvis. Thank you so much for joining us. That's Elvis Presley. I'm Stephen St. John. We have Nate Bucati, Jake Gutierrez, and Mr. Stan Weber. Hello, Stan Weber. How are you?
Can I break the rule and speak when Elvis is still singing? Because my mom loves Elvis like your mother,
right.
I believe. Figurines.
That's right.
I got all kind of big wall of figurines of Elvis Presley. And
I'd like to see those.
I remember when every TV special he had, man, we were locked and loaded like it was the Super Bowl. The whole family was ready, you know, 5 minutes before the program came on, and we were focused because we loved Elvis.
Every Elvis special back when I was a kid, my dad was just loaded because my mom wouldn't stop talking about him, so he would go in the other room and drink, which, mm-hmm. Hey,
I just remember
a long time ago.
Elvis had a special memory in my head. It's not necessarily a positive, but it kind of turned into a positive because of my mother's appreciation and his talent. Okay, there was this giant record player we had with big speakers, and my mom, about the time that, you know, if there were one college football game, or one Big 12 basketball game on Saturday, remember those days? You guys don't remember those days.
Oh yeah, I do.
But okay, so there was one big game or doubleheader at best, but about 5 o'clock in the evening or something like that, I mean, things are really slowing down. There's no sports until Sunday at noon or whatever. And I remember being sad, and then all of a sudden, my mom would turn on the record player with Elvis records and blast the house, music just pouring through the house. And she would be cleaning the house and that kind of thing. And I remember playing Nerf basketball, and 2 feet from it was so loud. But I grew up on Elvis music, and his talent is unbelievable. To me, when you have big bands and great production, that's cool and it's great, but can you imagine just sitting around a room with a guy who could sing, just hand him a guitar or a piano, and he can make it sound as good as well-produced? I mean, I've never met someone like that, but that'd be incredible. That's just your buddy. Hey, why don't you sing us a song?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
Yep.
So, no, I grew up with that, Stephen. I know anything you talk about your mom loving Elvis Presley, I'm fully aware of.
Nate's like that with the ukulele.
Right.
I do try to play the ukulele, but I suck.
Yeah. No, you're great, man. Makes a lot of people happy.
Now, Richie St. John, on the other hand, is like that. He can play everything. It's pretty incredible. Music fills the house up, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. And I'm not a big music guy. I mean, I'm a sports guy, but it does fill the house up if it's the right music.
And everyone asks me, so you, does he take from you being a musician? I'm like, hell no. I took guitar lessons for 2 years, and I was as bad at the end as I was in the beginning.
And then you punched it. You punched the guitar.
Right, that's exactly right. I did John Belushi from Animal House, just grabbed it and hit it, broke it over someone's head. But here's the deal. All the kids grew up on my old school music, and they embraced it, so... That's the influence right there. And
does Richie sing Elvis songs at all just to hang around the house? Oh, that'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. No, my favorite moment's when he sits at the piano and plays, and then either or Phil will play, because Phil, he just doesn't talk, but he plays the piano and listen to the girls sing, and they all just, and I'm just playing it and thinking, oh, this is like what they did in the 1800s, just gather around a piano and the family sings, because that's their only entertainment. And then it's time to play video games after that, so that I quickly race back to 2020. And so we have Stan Weber. Well, that's right, Stan.
Sample from Richie St. John right here.
This is all Richie St. John. Is.
Really?
Music and vocals. Sun came out today. You can hear a little Elvis in there, can't you?
asked him to do this, Stan Weber, and so he recorded this for the Sharewaves Ready to Play Week.
All of it.
And that's Richie. That's Richie playing lead guitar, rhythm guitar, bass, and keyboard, and lead vocals. The only thing he didn't do there were the drums. And so, yes, I'm very lucky. He has more talent in his pinky than I have in my well, everywhere.
Yeah, but you know what?
A lot of talent, but I can talk.
You know what though? He is a very talented kid. But this goes to what we talk about with sports too. You watch great athletes play, and I used to make the mistake of thinking to myself, that guy is just really athletic. And then you realize Michael Jordan was really athletic. He worked his rear end off his entire life to hone that ability. And Richie, I've watched him. I mean, I've watched him grow up. That kid, he's not a kid anymore, but he isn't my mind because I've known him since he was in fifth grade.
Is.
But he works incredibly hard. It's not, he doesn't think of it as work. He loves it. He plays, he practices. You don't get that good at anything just off of talent.
That's awesome. I mean, I could sit and listen to that all day. Plus, he mixed in some sports in there with his talents.
Yeah.
That's right.
That song just reminds me of, you know, my first introduction to Kansas City when, you know, I was a kid. I grew up in Wichita. We loved the Royals and the Chiefs. You know, Chiefs Kingdom that Mitch Holthus talks about. You know, Wichita is definitely Chiefs Kingdom, but it's still not Kansas City. It's a different place up here. And to be here live, and when I was in high school, we could pay $25, go down to the radio station, just a general radio station, and get on a really nice bus, and they'd fill the bus for a Sunday Royals game. And they'd get on there, and all you could drink, beer and pop for, not, I didn't get any beer, but I wasn't growing up enough to know why these people were having so much fun with free beer for a three-hour drive.
Oh, I knew it at a very young age.
But we went and watched the Royals, you know, and they weren't on TV that often.
Uh-huh.
They really weren't on TV that often back then. And so, but to hear this song and have the introduction for me now that I've been around Kansas City forever and can almost take it for granted, I can say it's a small town. It's unbelievable how many people I know or
right.
I know someone who knows someone else. You're like, you're kidding me. There's no way. It really is a small town. But when I was in Wichita and a kid, you play that song when the Royals were in the late 70s and getting better at baseball and just puts a giant smile on your face. So you mix the Stephen's son, Richie, singing that song. That's why are we talking? Why don't we just keep playing that over and over again?
First time I ever spent time with Richie was Stephen and I just started working at A10, and Stephen and I got sent to River Falls, Wisconsin. And one of the car dealerships that we had to deal with at the radio station gave us like a nice convertible sports car, and Richie came with us. He was in fifth grade, wasn't he, Stephen?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Was his long hair flowing?
And he was one of those kids that was like 12 years old going on 40. He could have a conversation with a grown-up when he was 10 years old, you know, and he just...
And I was 40 going on 12. That's why we always got along so well.
Yeah.
Every house averages out. You know, you got the serious ones and you got the fun ones. And Steven said, let's have some fun. Richie says, let me be serious.
Right. Dad, we need to talk about credit cards. We need to pay too much in interest rates.
Yeah, interest rates for ridiculous.
Dad, stop buying all this Canelo Alvarez stuff.
And the right? Royals World Series tickets. No. Yes.
Now, Stan Weber, something else that makes me very happy to talk about is Patrick Mahomes II. And look, the way that Nate was talking about Jordan and you know, you see someone with tremendous talent, and sometimes we don't think about the work ethic and how much they put into it. And I feel like that's Patrick Mahomes, man. Some of the workout videos, training videos he sent out, and we see his commitment on and off the field to the organization and to the city. That's why so many people celebrated when we found out about his contract extension that'll keep him here for 12 years or who knows, maybe more. I mean, Brett Veach indicated that this may not be the last, probably won't be the last contract he signs with the Chiefs. But let's just start there. What was your reaction when you saw the length of the contract and the amount and the timing? Some people were surprised by the timing. What was your reaction to the extension, Stan?
Well, a big smile on my face for many reasons. And I'm fortunate enough to negotiate many, many deals. And I think that the best negotiations are ones where you try to find out what the other side really thinks is most important. Be truthful in what you think is most important. Not get tricky at all, which most people think you have to be at each other's throat to get the best contract. You might not get everything, or you may leave too much on the table. I don't think that that's the best way to do big deals at all. If you can get a trust on each side, you need to talk about what things matter to us. And I think this is a great case where both sides didn't tear each other down. There's no reason for it. You've got Patrick Mahomes, who not only may be the greatest football player ever if he's able to stay healthy and keep going at the pace he has, but he's the greatest asset ever for any team because no one's been more of a team guy. He's thinking about what do the Chiefs want as well. He's willing to make a commitment. When you're doing deals, one of the most important things I think that you have to do is find that match point between both sides. They did that. I think that you need to be flexible. You have to have flexibility if you're the corporation or the Kansas City Chiefs in this example. You have to have flexibility. This gives them all kinds of flexibility. On the front end, he didn't hammer them with salary cap dollars. So they have all kinds of flexibility to keep the Super Bowl level team together for 3 or 4 years without Patrick Mahomes costing that much money at all. That's flexibility. Then he bombs them with money at the end, right? But the way they did it, it creates all kinds of flexibility because those roster bonuses and big dollar items will be renegotiated over and over and over again. They'll turn a $30 million payment and say, why don't we turn that into a bonus and extend your contract 1 year? And then they get it allocated over time and not take the salary hit today. I said a long time ago, I thought that he is going to turn into the equivalent of an assistant general manager, not because he's a great player, but because he's a great player who cares enough and can handle the truthful information. Here's an item for you. I think the Chiefs should, and I think they might, look at every year's salary cap. Every year as you go through this thing, if you have any money left in the salary cap, which you might, you know, at the end of this 2020 season, we might get down to the last quarter of the season and the Chiefs have $3 million left of salary cap money. If you want to run the best football franchise you can, you want to use that money and not have it hit your salary cap later. It's now or later, right? The money, the bonuses, those kind of things. So what they've done here is I think they go to Patrick Mahomes over and over again and say, hey, we have $4 million left in our salary cap. We want to increase your salary this year, and let's take off a little bit at the end. They can massage this so it's not a $50 million hit when it's down the line, okay? They have all kinds of flexibility. They have a commitment. Another thing you want in contracts is you want length. If you do a four-year contract, you don't have very much flexibility at all. Not only do you have to renegotiate later, you can't do much with a cap. When you have a long-term commitment, this is 12 years, it's pretty simple to see all the flexibility, the commitment. Everything you'd want in a contract from a negotiating strategy style for the Chiefs is there, and Patrick Mahomes gets big money, makes a commitment. It's very, very well done, and I think Patrick Mahomes is you talk about unicorn. He's a unicorn in the fact that he is going to help this franchise do the right thing for a long time with what he does to the salary cap.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Stan Weber talking about the Patrick Mahomes contract extension as Patrick Mahomes is in Lake Tahoe this weekend competing in the American Century Championship on NBC Sports Network and NBC. And so if you want to, if you need some Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce in your life, you can watch them all weekend long with the icing on the cake known as Canelo Alvarez. And so, Jake, thank you very much for reminding me of that, because I'll be very fired up to watch all weekend long. Stan Weber joins us. And Stan, the other talking point out of, besides all the celebration and how everyone's just thrilled with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs committing to each other for over a decade more now, now the focus goes back to Chris Jones and how this is going to affect Chris Jones. Some people said, well, this clearly means that Chris Jones, he's not going to get a long-term deal, and so that closes the book on that. Other people have suggested, no, this actually opens the door and makes it more likely that the Chiefs could sign Chris Jones to a long-term deal. What are your thoughts on how this contract extension affects Chris Jones and his situation?
Well, it's partly up to Chris Jones. I think the Chiefs have laid the groundwork for the kind of attitude they want to have, and I know I talked about it many, many months ago, right when this thing started happening, about Chris Jones and franchise tag and And a lot of people believe that's the end of Chris Jones. He won't play for the Chiefs, got to trade him, all those kind of things, never be able to play. And I said, you know, the Chiefs have got to step in and say, hey, Chris, work with us. We're going to tell you as truthfully as we can. We don't have all the salary cap room in the world, and we got to take care of Patrick Mahomes, but we also want to take care of you. We value you. We want you to be here, kind of that Dayton Moore love. And I think the Chiefs have that respect with not only Patrick Mahomes, with a lot of players. And you go tell Chris Jones that, and then you prove, then now you call Chris Jones up and say, we want to talk to you. July 15th is around the corner. If we're going to get something done other than just have a salary, just have the $16.1 million guaranteed if you play under the franchise tag. If you want to do something else, we got to do it by the 15th. Let's get to work. Now, what did we learn from the Patrick Mahomes situation? Why don't we talk about what we want? What do you want, Chris Jones? What do you want? And when you can, I can't answer what Chris Jones wants. That's the answer to this question. I don't know. Can the Chiefs show flexibility? Will the Chiefs show flexibility? Absolutely. They can do a lot of things. For instance, he's going to count $16 plus on the cap this year. He's already the Chiefs could do that. They could have him play for $16 million, and they could franchise him again the next year, and it would cost him what, 20% more, and hold him for 2 years. Well, that really hacks him off. You know, he doesn't want to be franchised. He wants more guaranteed money. He wants a longer term commitment. He wants a bigger bonus. What does he want though? You want to be a $20 million player? I mean, and how long do you want to be a $20 million player? So the Chiefs could say, you know what, we think you're a $20 million player. Why don't we sign a contract? Why don't we sign a contract that pays you $20 million total right now? And we can divvy it up however we want to. But if you want $20 million right now, let's pay it. Some of it can be a signing bonus. So would he be interested in $20 million today, including a signing bonus, and then a contract in year two of another $20 million and guaranteed that he's not going to be franchised? Would he accept that? That's not a commitment of 6 years or 4 years or all the money in the world, but isn't it better than just sitting there for $16 million and wondering if they're going to make you rot or dare you? So I think the Chiefs can work this out, could get him to play for one more year. If I were the Chiefs right now, I would say, here's $20 million, including bonus. We'll set the salary cap however we want to. We'll have paid $4 more million to our cap over 2 years, and then next year give you a contract for $20 million. But well, then they could trade him with that $20 million contract and he can get paid, or they cut him. If you put a big dollar amount out there, they could cut him and say, you're going to be a free agency. Put a poison pill out there. Let's just sign and get to work and work around it and pay him a little bit more money. So I think there's ways to work unless Chris Jones just says no. If he wants to say no, 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 there's no chance. But I think the Chiefs can say, we'll handle you like we did Patrick. We'll do the best we can with what we have.
You know, you saying that and listening, I went back and listened to the interview that these guys did with Jeff Chedia yesterday, where he talked about the money for Patrick Mahomes really starting to kick in after 3 years. The image of the Tetris piece is trying to fit them together. If I don't know if this is possible or not, because I don't know enough, but maybe if you're not paying Patrick Mahomes his big money for 3 years from now, you pay Chris Jones his big money in these next couple years, like this year and next, maybe you can fit those pieces together a little bit and make something work out.
Yeah, it can. It just depends on what he wants. It could definitely be worked out if they want to. I mean, if Chris Jones demands, I think they can set something up that will work for both of them. So I'm generally optimistic. I've always been generally optimistic that the Chiefs can work with the players. They have a lot of equity. But, you know, it's interesting. I do think just one more thing on a Patrick Mahomes contract. You mentioned kicking into big money in a third year. But he has 2 years of contract that were kind of the same. But the additional money that he added for four more years of extension over what he was already guaranteed is an average of $39.95 million over four more years through year six. Russell Wilson signed a four-year contract. He's averaging $38 million of new cash for those 4 years. So Patrick Mahomes basically signed a contract equivalent to Russell Wilson. Wow. Plus you get two more years of him. Plus he created all kinds of flexibility and gave you a chance to work with him for 12 years. I mean, you got the best of Tom Brady, the best of Russell Wilson, and in between, these guys are going to work it out, and it's positive all around. And Chris Jones, if he wants to play, I think the Chiefs can give him more money.
We've got Stan Weber in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati and Jake Gutierrez with Stan Weber on this Friday, July 10th, 2020, at 7:01 in the AM. Jake, you'll enjoy this. I have an 11 o'clock Zoom meeting with me, Susan, Phil St. John, and counselor at St. Pius X High School, Richard Dick Murphy, who is also my counselor at St. Pius X High School. He did not have any Zoom meetings with me and my dad back in the day. He did not have any meetings. I think my dad set foot in St. Pius once when I was at high, and that was to see me in a wrestling tournament, and I won, and I looked up, and he's like a superhero, just showed up for a moment, and then he was gone into the night. But we're gonna have a Zoom meeting about Phil's college plans. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel old?
Yeah.
Yep, me too.
No, you know what makes me feel old? Me, my body. Okay, when I wake up in the morning.
Actually, being old makes you feel old?
Yeah. Yeah, just
see, I'm the opposite.
Old.
Like, I feel so much better at 40 than I did at 30.
Well, 30 was not peak, Jake.
Right. You know?
I think you're going to feel better at 80 than you did at 30.
good point. That's a good chance of that, too.
That's more of a comment on, but you're doing very well right now.
But I remember that young man's like asked me, you know, he asked me to be his godfather.
Right.
And he's a little boy.
He's still a little 17-year-old boy to me that towers over me and can push me around now.
I've known that kid since he was two.
Man, see, I know you already been through it. I've already had one, move on to the real world. But that should be an interesting Zoom meeting. And again, I have to, he actually is, he studies and does homework and stuff. And
gets good marks. I've seen those marks.
Different deal, Mr. Murphy. Just don't let the St. John name fool you with that one. Because Richie and I did not have
Thanks,
the same
Susan.
Name. Yeah. Not have the same priorities of bias. But we have Stan Weber here. Stan, let's talk. Speaking of college, going off to college, let's talk some college football. Okay. So let's run down the list of things that have happened in the last 24 hours or so. The Big Ten yesterday announced it will go to a conference-only season for all sports, including football, amid unprecedented times during the coronavirus pandemic. So, Big Ten conference only season for all fall sports. And then on top of that, we hear that Stanford is dropping 11 varsity programs after the 2020-2021 season ends. The Ivy League has announced it will play no varsity sports for the rest of the calendar year, and they may try to move fall sports into the spring of 2021, but there's no guarantees. Ohio State, which fields more varsity athletic teams than any school in the nation, paused voluntary workouts for 7 programs after an undisclosed number of positive COVID-19 tests, and that joins a growing list of schools to halt efforts to bring back sports right now. And so all that happened in the past 24 hours or so. Let's just start there with your reaction. I guess the news that most people are talking about is the Big Ten and eliminating the non-con. What are your thoughts, Stan?
Well, we had a discussion last week, Nate and I, about how I was going more and more pessimistic about the season being able to be played in the Ivy League. You know, they set a tone. It's completely different, the level of football, the number of games. It's not the same as the rest of the colleges, but they still said, we're not going to play. And then that was fine and created some reaction, like, is that the first domino to fall? Possibly. But when the Big Ten steps in right afterward and becomes the second domino and takes about 50 dominoes and immediately affects a lot of other people without even talking to them. Iowa State, you had a game with Iowa? Oh, we're not going to play it. Right now, it's over. Let's communicate about it. No, we're not communicating. We just voted yesterday. We're doing conference games only. First of all, I think the key thing in any discussion, especially today, is to balance it out and look at all sides. So first of all, to give the Big Ten the benefit of the doubt, there is not a cancel mentality to the season. Oh, wait a second. They just decided to cancel two games. So maybe there is a cancel mentality. But to protect their 10, they basically are saying, we may have a week three, a game that was scheduled, and we can't play it because of COVID-19. One team or the other is not able to supply a team that's safe. So let's not play the game. Rather than just cancel it and move on, they're going to say, let's reschedule. And they're prioritizing that they do get to play Big Ten games. So they're prioritizing that over non-conference games and saying, let's do what we can to have a full enough season, a conference champion, things like that, to set up for a national championship and those kind of things. So this gives us time. And that's what they bought. They now have 10 games instead of 12 over a, say, 14-week period, so they can have some cancellations and still have some flexibility that those teams could hook up. The Big 12's talked about moving back their championship game. I think every conference ought to do it, move it back 1 or 2 weeks to also buy them time, regardless of how they play this out. So that's the positive. The negative is that's just another giant domino. We're getting closer and closer to football not being played this fall. And so I think it's becoming closer on the horizon that we won't have football. They won't make it through the season. And the Big Ten took a giant step to shed light on that fact that we may not have football this fall in college.
Well, one of the things that that you mentioned there, the sport of college football, you've kind of got a couple entities. A lot of people think that the NCAA runs college football, and it doesn't. But you've got college football itself, and then you've got the Power Five conferences. And the Power Five conferences really kind of run the thing, but the conference commissioners all were supposed to meet on this. And then the Big Ten, just the day before that, comes out and makes their own unilateral statement on this, like you said. That's got to frustrate the heck out of all the other leagues. Like, hey, shouldn't we have guessed? I mean, why not just wait another day and sit down and we could try to figure this out as a group instead of doing? Because if each conference is going to start making their own things, isn't that going to make things even more difficult?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very hard. And there are so many aspects to this. It is a surprise, though. They didn't work together. Like I said, Iowa State had a game with Iowa. Now they don't have a game. They got 11-game schedule. What are they supposed to do? Did the Big Ten care what the other teams are supposed to do? The MAC conference needs the money. They have a lot of games with the Big Ten, and they just flipped them to the side. Why did they do it? I gave you the benefits of what they talked about. Will they be able to make it through? I don't know. But I think it's important to talk about have you guys seen any of the basketball tournament?
Yeah, I've watched the highlights on ESPN, honestly.
Those are real games, right? I mean, those are live.
As far as I know.
Those aren't video game players like the racing.
Yeah, no, it's real games.
Now, how are they able to play?
I would.
Do they get paid much money?
I don't know. I have no idea. Probably not.
No. Okay, so let's just say this. A big statement that's being made out there is the NFL has a chance to get this to work and be safe because the players have a union and they have someone who can represent them. I agree the NFL has a lot of advantages. Only 32 teams. They do have an NFL. They have a lot of money. They have owners that can stick together. There's a lot of reasons why the NFL has a great chance to do it. I think the NFL is going to make it. I'm not so sure about everyone else. But this idea that the players have no representation and the players could be taken advantage of and be forced to play so we can have fun. That's what I hear. Forced to play so we can have fun. That's so unfair. The basketball tournament are people who are choosing to play right now and take risks. Take risks of playing against other people for no money. And they chose to do it. There are a lot of college football players who want to play and will take the risk, and it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with they want to play football. Now, let's talk about something incremental. You're talking about college. This is very relevant. Are the colleges going to have college this year? Okay. Let's assume yes for a second.
Okay.
If the answer is yes, and the football players are on campus, I propose to you the football players who are testing for COVID-19 right now that you're seeing shut down programs are not doing it because they're football players. They did not get exposed because they're football players. They got exposed because they're humans and they're students and they're 20 years old. They're around others who have COVID-19. They have it. Salvador Perez had it, and no one knew until they tested him. We wouldn't have treated Salvador Perez any differently than anybody else you know if he wouldn't have got a positive test. So the fact that there are positive tests just tell you how dangerous it is out there everywhere you go. It is super dangerous out there. But it's not more dangerous because they played football, okay? Because they're practicing together or that they're going to tackle each other. If they go to college and they cancel football, we will have saved these guys from the risk of COVID-19 from football. That's what we're going to say, right? Now, wait a second. Are they going to not let them come to the football facility? Are they not going to practice? Are they going to be, help, you're a student only, see you in 6 months. Do not come over to our place to work out. Don't come see our doctors. Don't come see your teammates. You're excluded from being a football player. Now, wait, if you go, no, they're still going to get together. If they're going to get together, let them play the games. The risk is the same. They're going to be together. So if you say, no, they're not going to be football players. They're only going to be students. They have to stay on campus, not go to the football facility, and that makes them more safe. I propose to you, does it make them more safe? Are they just as likely to catch COVID and pass COVID to their grandma and everything else being around other students? Or are they at less risk? What do you think?
Well, I'm not qualified to say that because I'm not a doctor or pandemic. My initial reaction would be the act of playing football face-to-face and all that with the heavy breathing probably elevates the risk a little bit. But I would say the bigger issue that you have is because of the testing that you said, they get removed, right? Like, and now maybe because, like, hey, they're playing youth sports all over the place because no one's getting tested. And honestly, it makes me wonder, I mean, whether or not they should be playing youth sports right now is a whole different debate. But how many kids out there run around with it that we don't know, right, that are playing these sports? So I don't know. I don't know that it elevates their risk. Now,
I think they're going to get it on campus, being around other students, just as much. They go to football and they get tested and they become a known commodity.
I think
hey, you're at a risk.
Yeah.
But my point is, I'm working with a small business person, okay, that's not in a good position. That's why I'm consulting with them now. And one of the things that they want to talk about real quick is the things that got them to this point and how big a hole they've developed. You know, whatever. And I say, time out. I know I'm new to this, but this is very simple. It's only what's incremental going forward. None of the decisions you made in the past have anything to do with the decision you have today. It's the decision going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just look at that increment. I'm telling you, start thinking about this question. If these football players are not allowed to play for safety reasons, I'm not criticizing that. I propose to you, are they any safer? Are they any less likely to get COVID-19 and pass it on to others, which is the biggest danger probably, to go with their grandma or someone who's not as healthy? Will they, during the next 4 months, be exposed many, many times over in football or without football? And I think the answer is they're going to be exposed either way. The only way you don't do that is you tell the college students not to come.
Right.
Now they say, right, we can't do that. But the safest thing for football players, if you care about football players like a union or a mentality, is tell all the other students to stay home. Like Harvard said, don't want to, it's online only. Mm-hmm. So you could say, KU, online only, but we'll let the football players come. Well, you can't make those football players come and not let the other students, because if it's not safe for the other students, it's not safe for these football players. I can't believe you're doing that. The fact is, you just made it the safest possible world possible. It's almost like bubbling the MLS. If right. The only people around Lawrence are the KU football players and basketball players, and they keep them in a safe environment, spread them out, keep them in dorms, bring them food, all this kind of stuff, they actually could be safer than ever. So if you really are looking at safety, then tell the rest of students to stay home. If the rest of students come, they're going to get sick. If you're going to get sick, why not also include the value of playing football for a lot of people, for the networks, for WHB radio announcers who need to talk about sports, coaches, officials, broadcasters,
all the
players,
other Olympic athletes who there's funding depends
and
on.
And guess who wants to play? We're putting all the weight on those poor 20-year-old kids' back. You know what those 20-year-old kids want to do? They want to play because they know that the risks, they got risks in their normal life. Unless they just go at their parents' basement and sit there all the time safely, like we're locked down, that's the only way they're not going to integrate with each other. Let me tell you, they're integrating with each other. I know a lot of people, Stephen, who are 20 years old, 22 years old, 24-year-olds, and guess what? They're getting together. And I'm not talking about nasty stuff. I'm not talking about partying. I'm just talking about friends. They want to be friends, and they're getting together. So you see, I'm even though I'm very pessimistic that we're going to be able to pull this off, and the Big Ten announcement helps solidify that, in another mindset, I could say, what are we asking? What's the question we're asking here? Because incrementally, I think they're going to sit around for 3 or 4 months, see their friends, get exposed, get COVID, and not get to play football. How awful would that be? If you're sitting there in October and you've got COVID and you didn't get a play.
But do we let kids play with COVID? I mean, because the procedures across the country say that theoretically, if a kid in grade school has it, he's supposed to quarantine for 14 days. And now there's a lot of people that are not following that right now, which you could say is why we're in the situation we're in. But that's the tough part right there is if you almost see, it almost seems like you would have to say, we're going to go ahead and let guys that test positive play. And then what happens? Is there an outbreak on the team because of that? That isn't that the biggest issue right there?
I think that as radical as it sounds, if Salvador Perez wouldn't have got tested, he'd be out there playing for the Royals right now.
Right.
And there are probably, you say, well, we have to test them all the time. Well, even when you test them, they may have already been out there for 7 days infecting the others. Then you catch it, and then you pull them out. So you're never going to be perfect. The disease is everywhere. That's the message. It's scary. It's real. That's why when you talk about, hey, do anything you can, you mentioned it earlier. The best thing I've heard, and you mentioned it earlier off air, if you need to act like you have it all the time. That's the best respect you can give to your fellow citizens. You need to act like you have it, because when you see your grandma, don't be just 20-year-old and be tested in a football player to know you're dangerous to your grandma. You're dangerous to your mom and your grandma right now because you might have it. You don't get tested. I know now a number of people that have had the coronavirus, and many of them had no idea and never felt anything different from day one to day 20. So to naively think that I know everyone that's just because they're positive that I didn't run into others or even me, I might be. I don't know. It's just there's a risk reward here. And my point is how much risk is changed by them not playing? By those 20-year-olds not playing, how much risk has really been avoided and you take away tons of benefits? So I just think that's the equation at least need to be discussed. And this idea that the players are being abused is exactly the opposite. I would say many and most of the players want to play. Go look at the basketball tournament. Those guys want to play. They want to find a way to get out there and play. Their eligibility is burning up.
Let's hear from Mizzou AD Jim Sterk, who spoke with the media yesterday afternoon. He has some comments about what we're talking about. Here, Jim Sterk says he's trying to stay optimistic despite all of the news, the bad news in the return to sports around the country.
I guess I'm an optimist in the standpoint of, 3 weeks ago we were really optimistic, and we people were saying they were going to have full stadiums and all of that, and now the pandemic has kind of resurged a bit, if you will, and the pro sports have stumbled as they've started out of the blocks, but I think. It's positive for us that we can see what's working from their standpoint and apply that to decisions we make. But I think, it continues to change daily and weekly and in a month, in 2 months, I'm hopeful it's a heck of a lot better and things are better than what we have. If not, then we have to pivot and adjust our plans.
Jim Sterk also said that the SEC hasn't made any decision like the Big Ten did yesterday on playing only conference games, but Sterk says they'll be ready to do what they're told.
There's a bunch of different models for football. There's a lot of things out there in the public, but we'll be prepared to adjust if necessary to a schedule that best accommodates what we're hearing from the medical officials and campus officials at the time.
If the conference-only model is the way you're going, would you be interested in adding more than just 8 games on the schedule? I know A&M's coming here in 2021, going to Auburn in 2022. Would there be looking into adding more conference opponents than just the 8 currently on the schedule? Should that be the way of the future for this season?
Again, I'll go back to our 12 scenario. Those are all part of the 12 scenarios out there of, what we could do. It's a possibility.
And finally, with some schools having already changed neutral site games, Yesterday, Jim Sterk said that the Mizzou-Arkansas game scheduled for Arrowhead Stadium this season is still on.
We've been in discussions with the Chiefs, and we're kind of in the same boat as far as trying to determine exactly what we're going to do. And but as of right now, we plan on playing that game there.
Nate Bucati, Stan Weber, any comments on what Jim Sterk had to say yesterday?
Go ahead, Stan.
Well, I love having an optimistic attitude, but basically what he said is he hopes it's going to be better in a couple months. And right now, there's no indication why there would not be a better health situation. So the question for me that pops up, the next question is, as the dominoes start to fall, is guys like the Oklahoma crew, Coach Riley and Joe Castiglione said, spring season may not be unacceptable. So when are they going to make that decision? Are they just going to jump to the spring? Or are they going to take the Big Ten model and say, let's dive in and play 10 games, like the Big 12 could play 9 conference games and pick one non-conference game and play the other FBS-level team, like K-State plays Vanderbilt. Play Vanderbilt and 9 others, is that what they're going to try to do? Or are they just going to finally say, we're going to get canceled? I mean, this is not going to work out well, so let's jump ahead and go to the spring. I'm not saying that's a great thing, because who knows if it's going to be different in the spring, but they need to try to have football. That's what they said a couple months ago, and I hope they're still as focused of trying to have it.
A few things that I would say. Number one, people like us that are sitting here want football. We all love the sport. We love what it brings to all of us. Economically, we have a vested interest in it. We want the game to be played. So, I mean, I'll continue to say what we've said for a long time with all these situations. Doesn't matter what sport, there are no good answers. There's not an answer that's just going to satisfy everybody. Every answer kind of stinks right now. It's just like, which answer can we find that stinks the least? And you talk about like the spring or when do they make this decision? Number one, any decision they make, they need to get together. Because I do think that's one of the problems we've had, is that every part of our country is trying a different approach. And I don't know which approach works, but we can't find out which approach works because we don't ever get together and do one approach to see if it works. You know, if half the country's doing one thing and half the country's doing something else, it's like, how do we know? And if one conference is doing this and another conference is doing that, we can't get anything together. So that's one thing. And in terms of the spring, soccer alert, Jake, I'm sorry. But you know what? Here, NBA alert. You can just, this will be NBA instead of soccer. There's a lot of criticism of this thing going to the bubble in Orlando
right
now.
We don't have an NBA alert. We only have a soccer alert.
Okay, soccer alert.
Say soccer. There. Thank you.
But I'm seeing, because I'm invested in it, I'm seeing a lot of criticism of Major League Soccer for having this thing in Orlando, and this is the worst place they could be right now because the testing.
Get the deck, Stan. Soccer's incoming. Incoming soccer talk, Stan.
The numbers
take cover.
The numbers are through the roof in Orlando right now, but when they agreed to this deal, when they put this whole plan in place, the numbers in Florida looked pretty good, and it was open for business, and it seemed like, hey, they got a bubble down there, and Disney's got a whole complex. It seemed like a really good idea. We don't know what the world's going to look like in 2 months from now, and that's what makes this hard, and I just, everybody is so, not everybody, a lot of people are so quick to blast whomever. Would you like to be the person making these decisions right now?
Well, Mr. Sterk said, the pro leagues are having a little bit of a challenge getting going, but at least we can learn from them and see
right.
The positives. But there are no positives. No one's got step one and step two and step three to go, hey, that works, let's jump on it. That's the thing that's demoralizing, is not that there are any bad people, or the spectrum of attitudes from A to Z. None of those people are right or wrong. We're all wrong.
Right.
Because we haven't found anything that gets us over the hump. I mean, staying in our house forever and not getting paid for a lot of people and not living your life is not a good option. Okay? And running out and smacking yourself into the disease and going out and acting like it's no big deal because you can't see it is just as bad. But everything in between, unfortunately, has not been something we can gain traction on. So when he says, well, let's look at the other leagues, no one's had a smooth sailing shot yet. Not baseball, not basketball, not the MLS. I mean, it's...
NBA's having their problems trying to get going.
So it's all going to be demoralizing.
Yeah,
it's just going to be, you know, someone's going to. We keep saying money drives everything. We keep saying that, and we keep saying it. And this is one instance where it hasn't been the case yet. You know, follow the money. How often do you hear people say that? And we all feel pretty comfortable, probably going, yeah, follow the money. Well, follow the money means college football is going to be played hell or high water. And the NFL is going to roll, and the NBA is going to play, and there's no way anything's going to be canceled that is worth that kind of money. College football? Are you kidding me? That machine? You're going to cut off that economic machine for any reason? Well, it's not. We're not following the money. There's a decent chance there's going to be no football. I'm not saying that's wrong, but it sure isn't the normal course. I've learned over the last 20 years, follow the money's pretty good to see where things are going to go. But is someone going to radically say, I'm going to take the money? Is the SEC going to say, I don't care if any I don't care if every conference shuts down. We're going to play 12 games. And if you want to show up for one non-conference game and play us all year, we'll play you.
If there's a league that's going to do it, it's the SEC, right?
Exactly. I mean, if they just say, we are going to play, and I don't care. Big Ten, you don't want to play us? Fine. Big Ten, you shut down halfway through the season? Fine. We're going to take a different course. We're going to take a big hunk of money. Or you could even let 40,000 fans into the stands instead of 10. Again, another money grab. You know, television ratings. Those, is someone going to take the risk for the money and go for it? And that's the only thing we really haven't seen yet. Is someone just radically, is it Dana White? Is that the right
yep.
name? He's kind of, he's the one guy who's trying to do it. But isn't he kind of his own corporation?
Yep.
He can try to get this done. But what do SEC?
Well, he answers to Disney and ESPN, and that's early on. That's who shut him down. So
okay, so maybe he doesn't. But can the SEC do this? You know, if the SEC just said we're going to play and we had X number of positive cases, you know, we're going to test at the beginning of the season all of our players coming in, and the positives are going to sit out, and after that, we're not going to test anybody unless they show signs. You show signs, we'll test you. If we positively test you, you're out of here. Guess what? That's a money play. They're save tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars if they cut out the testing. Would a player be scared that the other team hasn't been tested and they play a game and possibly get exposed to someone that has the virus? The players can say no or yes. They have the right. But if a lot of players say yes and they play the games, it's a money grab. But it might be just as effective. There may not be any more sickness in the world in the SEC country as there is in the Ivy League. We don't know. None of these answers are good. But so far, the follow the money statement has not played out in my mind. No one said money over these other issues yet. And I'm waiting for the SEC because they might be the one. They don't have a ton of pro sports. College football is everything. The town of Tuscaloosa, you know how much money that town makes?
Well, and it's not just the stadium. I mean, it's every business in town.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
the community.
Every business in town, yeah.
So for the money play, they all say, let's play. And if the players say, let's play.
And then what does Nick Saban do? Does he, like, just quarantine himself from the entire team because he's at risk? Does he go out and coach them? There's the knock-on effect, right? That'll be interesting to see if
he can sit up in the stands with a bullhorn, stand up there like Bear Bryant did on top, or he can say, you know, I choose to live my life. And if I die because I get COVID, because I was a coach, I would rather take that choice than not coach. And it's his right to do that, I think. I think the coaches will coach. I think they're going to get in there and say, I'll take the risk. I'm healthy. I'll take my vitamins.
We saw that in the NBA. I mean, several coaches are at risk. And, you know, and they said, you know, we're going to coach.
If you don't get to live your life, what's your life worth living?
Well, so you're obstructing someone from doing their job, too. I mean, that's
Hey, man, I have these conversations with my own mom all the time right now. She's dying to see her grandkids. I mean, she wants to see them, and she's arguing with me like, hey, it's my right. I'm an adult. I should have some say in this. And that's a hard question. But mom, we love you. We don't want to expose you and risk your life. And these are, there's no good answer.
And you don't want to feel the regret that you might have started.
I can't live with that the rest of my life.
Right. That's where she needs respect from you. But she may get it while she's at home, going to the store, and say, gosh, I can't believe I passed away and didn't see my grandkids live for the last 6 months.
There's not a good answer
there. There's no good answers.
The one answer says she can't see her grandkids, which is the most important thing in the whole world to her. And the other answer is we risk giving her a life-threatening illness. Both of those are bad situations. Which one's worse is what you're trying to evaluate in these situations, and who can you tell what to do and who can't you tell what to do, and what's for the greater good, you know, and all those things. It's anybody that wants to act like this stuff is just simple and there's a good guy and a bad guy involved in all this is not evaluating how complicated and difficult this whole situation is. Right? I mean, we can
no bad guys in my mind.
Yeah, it's yeah.
That's Stan Weber. Stan, thank you so much for the time. At one point you said hell or high water, and I will use that as my recommendation for
great
movie watching this weekend starring Jeff Bridges, Chris Pine, and Ben Foster. So, Stan, if you're looking for a movie to watch, sans sports, Hell or High Water starring Jeff Bridges, I think you'd like it very much. So.
I think I'm going to be watching some golf.
Stuck in my head.
Here you go.
I got two golf.
Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
I got two golf tournaments. I love the tournament in
the
Tahoe.
American Century. Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, I love seeing
fun format.
Those great athletes who are also great golfers be put under a different pressure and cross pollinate with the competition. You know, Seth Curry against a Tony Romo, and the star power that you guys have been able to see by going down and interviewing them. It must be unbelievable. But just as a TV event. I'm watching a lot of golf now, even the Thursday and Friday rounds, which is very surprising. But this I've always loved this tournament, and it's a three rounder, I believe, and I'm looking forward to watching it today and seeing these stars out there. So live sports for me. I'm kind of done with movies.
I mean, American Century Championship this afternoon on NBC Sports Network, and then Saturday and Sunday. On NBC. Stan, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it, sir.
Thank you very much. Good luck with your college choices and your Zoom meeting.
Thank you. You know, he won't even tell me, so we'll see if he opens up on the Zoom call today. But whatever he does, I'm very excited to hear, just to hear him speak for more than four or five words at a time. You know, but Phil is a man of action. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.